Ladies and gentlemen, welcome aboard this Air France message. With Air France, your journey to France begins when you set foot on the plane, starting with a complimentary glass of champagne in every class. And in business and la première, savor a five-course meal with cheese and wine and unique menus created by some of the greatest French chefs. Enjoy a taste of France before you arrive. Bon appétit. Elegance is a journey. Air France.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Started from the bottom, now we're here.
Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata back on the fan on this Tuesday morning. 888-808-1019 is the number to call. We're talking some baseball. Pete Alonso spoke yesterday, so we liked what we saw from that. Vladimir Guerrero Jr. spoke for today. I love what I see from that. By the way, BT, we talk about it from the Mets' point of view, but obviously you mentioned the Yankees could go out there and get him as well. No guarantee just because Steve Cohen beat out the Yankees for Juan Soto that the Yankees can't go big game hunting again and go get Vlad Guerrero Jr. As well.
For sure. I also think the Red Sox are going to be very much involved in this. They're trying to spend some money. They got a situation on their hands with Devers, who does not seem like he's budging off his position. I mean, some of us thought, I didn't like it, that Stroman said, I'm not going to the bullpen. I mean, that was nothing compared to what Devers was saying yesterday. So, I don't know. Can you see a Toronto Red Sox trade? Who knows? But I do think the Yankees will be involved if they get him. I don't know. Question for you real quick here. So, what are the concerns that you had about Pete not getting a great contract? Was you didn't want an unhappy Pete that could translate into production that wouldn't be good for the Mets. Where you heard him speak, where are you now?
Well, remember, that was before that Cohen flew down there to meet with Pete Alonso. So this was, I'm better than what I felt. I said I thought it would be a mistake at this point if both sides came to agreement. Like, move on. The Mets moved on. Pete apparently moved on and was going to go somewhere else. I thought it would be a mistake if they forced the issue. I don't think it's as bad as it were, or as bad as it was prior to Cohen flying down there to meet with Alonso and have that face-to-face and hard-to-hard. I mean, it was so bad that Cohen felt he needed to do that. So think about it. Right where you're saying, I just felt like I needed to have the human touch and go down there and see him. So I think it's better, and I still feel like Pete, I think he's satisfied. I don't think he's happy, but I don't think it's going to be a problem the way that I felt it would have been before. I still think it's now kind of back to square one where, okay, the Mets showed they wanted him. Pete showed he wanted to be here. Obviously, he wanted to be the highest. He referenced that yesterday, too, setting the market at the $30 million. That was important to him.
Yep.
So the Mets made him happy in that regard. He gets to set the market and at least save face there. Now he's going to go out there and prove it. So I have my doubts, maybe less because of the circumstance now, which is more about it's on him to produce. Does he have it in him, another year older, to go out there and put up big boy numbers? I need to see it before I believe it, but I don't think the other stuff, I don't think his mindset is going to be a problem here.
Okay. Hoff would just tell me in our ear here, so Steve Cohen's talking right now?
Yeah, we actually have, the Mets just put it out there, so he's up and talking right now if you guys want to listen.
Yeah, of course.
Okay, yeah, you want to put that on now? Okay, let's listen to it.
Pretty exciting. I think the fans are going to love it.
Just seeing all your work at the culmination of that whole free agency period of of wooing him, you know, how does it kind of come together when you see him pick up that bat and step in there?
Yeah, I mean, it's always nice when a plan comes together, and the plan came together, and it's exciting to think about having him, but once you see him starting to hit in the cage and looking forward to him to playing games, and I think he's going to create a lot of excitement for the team.
It's become a running joke, the 3 to 5 year World Series thing, but at the Soto press conference, you said you had told him you could see the team winning 2 to 4 over the next decade. Why do you think that? Or why are you not afraid to say that out loud?
Yeah, you always want to set high standards and high goals. There's no guarantee in anything, right? It's really hard to win a World Series. But the thought of, you know, we're putting together a team, not just a team good for 1 year, but we want to create sustainable success. And if we keep making the playoffs, you know, why can't we find, you know, get to the ultimate goal? And so why not set a high goal and try to make it?
This is your fifth team here. How do you feel about this team compared to how you felt at other times this spring?
Yeah, listen, there are other times I felt we've had a pretty good team, and certainly coming out of 22, I thought 23 would be a great team, and it turned out to be different. So you can write it down on paper, but there's no guarantees. And so I always say we got to play the games. And you don't know about injuries, you don't know how people are going to play, but on paper we look like a really strong team with a lot of depth. And I think to get through spring training, 162 games, and playoffs, we're going to need that depth. And so I'm excited by who we have on the team. I think it's a team that is going to produce runs. I think our pitching is going to surprise people. I mean, I know there's a lot of talk about starting pitching. And the other thing is we're flexible. One thing, you know, if we have to make changes or improve the team during the year, we saw what we did in 24, and we'll do it again in 25.
So Steve, with the learning curve that you've had as an owner since you bought the team, obviously being kind of new to the game, is this year kind of the first year that you've got almost everything where you want? In Stearns, you have the president of baseball operations you want. You're getting the star power roster that you probably always imagined. Is this kind of it really the first year it all come together in that way?
Well,
anything where you at, where you're at on the learning curve for that too?
Yeah, I think on paper we look really good. I think from a management point of view, we're, you know, we have a group that's going to be together for a while, and I think having that type of stability is really important. But we still have to play the games, and we still have a ways to go as far as infrastructure. I think we've moved things along a lot, but I always believe in innovating and never accepting a certain, always trying to push it further. And that's going to be the philosophy of the team. I mean, we're going to try to make all aspects of the club, the infrastructure, elite. And those are my goals, and I tend to have high goals.
What would make this year a success in your eyes?
No, we got to make the playoffs. Okay, that's the minimum. After getting a taste of being in the league championship, we want to go to the World Series, right? And we want to win. And if we put ourselves in that position enough, maybe it doesn't happen this year, maybe it does. But if we keep putting ourselves in position in the playoffs and to make a deep run, we're going to win a World Series at some point.
Steve, you had a lot of unsung heroes last year that helped you guys get to 2 wins away from the World Series. Jose Iglesias was one of them. Just what are your thoughts on the situation? I mean, he's obviously not here, but you have brought a lot of back guys from last year, you know, kind of keeping the chemistry going and whatnot. So just interested to hear what you have to say.
Yeah, listen, every year there's always new players on a team, and chemistry, you know, happens. It doesn't just happen walking into spring training. It takes a while for the team to gel. And as far as individual players, I leave it to my baseball people to decide who they want on the team.
Steve, you mentioned something like infrastructure. Yeah. Can you talk about some stuff you think you still have to close the gap on? You at your introductory press conference, you talked about like the Dodgers, where it's kind of humming on all facets. What do you think you have to close the gap still on to hum on all facets?
Yeah, listen, I'm not familiar with exactly, I mean, it looks like the Dodgers are humming, but hard to know from the outside looking in. I mean, I'm sure all organizations have stuff they have to work on. I think, I want to be a team that can improve players. And I think we're, from a pitching perspective, we've been able to do that. And I still think we're trying to figure it out from a hitting perspective. And so, and I think you and I have had conversations in the past where everyone's working on pitching, and everybody thinks they can improve pitching. But if we can do that, then I think that would be a real leap forward. And so that would be an exciting prospect. you know, we're always trying to improve the technology of the infrastructure, and if we can find new ways to deploy technology in innovative ways, maybe using AI, machine learning in new ways, that would be kind of exciting. So there's always something to do, and you know, I leave it to the baseball people to come to me and with, you know, the type of things they want to work on.
Is there any level of frustration that you want to be able to get under that $301 million?
I mean, I wouldn't say frustrating, but I mean, it always seems like ball players are more expensive than you think. It comes back to, I think, ultimately having a farm system that is producing players, because obviously they're controllable, they're cheaper, and you need a mix. And I think we're going to get there, and I would hope, and I hope we get there soon. If we get there, I think that really makes it easier to kind of get to probably a more normal spending level.
BT and Sal on the fan, we're listening to Steve Cohen address the media.
The draft pick is part of the penalty, but yeah. The financial penalties or the drafting lower.
So nobody wants to spend money and pay tax, right? I mean, you know, those are expensive taxes. That is a losing draft position and or draft picks at some, you know, is an expense. You don't see it on the bottom line, but it's an expense. And both are probably not optimal as far as trying to run a team.
This year, payroll-wise, you guys are at about 325, according to some of the public estimates. How does that compare to what you thought at the end of last season?
Well, let me put it different. I mean, I've always wanted to be a little more measured in payroll growth, and then we get there, and it's never quite there. I mean, listen, I have the ability to spend if I have to. I want to win, and I want to, you know, put the best team I can on the field, and so. There's certain things getting, you know, free agency is expensive. It's just the way it is, and it's always more expensive than you can imagine.
When you say get the spending down to a more reasonable level, when you start to use the farm system in the ways that you want, what is a reasonable level?
I mean, I'd like to get below the Cohen tax. I'm sure it's about me. There's a lot of Cohens out there. I was saying to somebody before, I'm a Piker now compared to the Dodgers.
Steve, yeah. You mentioned the Dodgers. Yes. Steinbrenner recently said that it's hard for most of us owners, to keep up with them. How do you view what the Dodgers are doing? Do you think that's what they're doing is bad for the sport?
Well, I'm not going to get into whether something's bad or good. They've built a great business over there with revenues that are significantly above almost any other team. And that gives them the ability to do things that perhaps other teams can't do. And so kudos to them. I mean, they've built a great organization.
Steve, when you take a look at the business side of your day job compared to this side, This baseball seems every year to rapidly change. Have you seen the differences in baseball since you've been here and how rapid the changes to the landscape are?
Have you ever traded markets before? They change pretty rapidly, too. So I'm actually pretty, I mean, there's a lot of similarities between being in the markets, running a hedge fund, and running a team. And a lot of it has to do that things change pretty quickly, or you have to have, you know, pretty flexible thinking. You know, how you think, what's happening, you have to be really adaptable when things are changing. And so there are a lot of similarities there, and I'm kind of used to doing it.
What you think about some of the deferred money that, you know, the Dodgers and some other teams, do you see that being a trend? How do you feel about that? That doesn't seem to be how you guys are operating.
I love deferring money if I can, okay? It just so happens my players, I'm not getting lucky enough to. But you know, I think that's a little bit of a red herring, and because they're also giving big signing bonuses. And I think what's really happening there is they're trying to balance out the signing bonus with the deferral. If you notice, they tend to be in the same ballpark. And so I think people are focused on deferral and maybe not thinking about the fact that they're advancing cash at the beginning. So I'm not sure that's a real issue.
Steve, you mentioned both wanting
doing what is necessary to win, and trying to lower the number below the current threshold.
Right. Yeah.
Does wanting to win again this year comes from your baseball people that they want to do?
Well,
it means expanding your payroll further.
We're pretty up there. I mean, you know, we're at 325, and we're not including IL placements and then bringing up minor league players, and there, you know, that adds to the payroll, and then obviously we want to reserve some money for the trade deadline. And so already I can envision,
talk to me,
if things go probably the way they're going to go, I mean, it could easily be 340, 345. That's a pretty hefty payroll.
Yeah. How long is that sustainable for you? Like, if this doesn't go the way you want it to go, how many years can you continue doing that?
I mean, it's really hard to look out into the future, hard to know. I take it a year to year. I mean, I can finance it. I mean, is that the most optimal way to run a team? Probably not.
So it's the difference between can, which isn't a question,
right,
and want to.
Well, I wrestle with that all the time. Even this year, you know, I had a thought of like where I want it to be, and I've already blown through it.
Yeah.
And so, and I really wanted to be there, and just circumstances just created the, all right, I'm going to have to adapt my thinking.
Where was that?
And, well, I'm not going to say what it was, but I mean, it seems like when you really get to the end, just that, I'll say it again, free agency is a lot more expensive than even you planned for that year.
Why did you ultimately decide to blow through it?
Listen, I want a winning team, and I want to put the best team I can on the field, and the way it went was, you know, it just turned out that's hard to know what pitchers you're going to sign, hard to know what position players you're going to sign, and you try to be somewhat measured, but in the end you have to make decisions, and it's just sort of the way it ends up playing out, and I still say it comes back to ultimately having a farm system that's producing players that can moderate the payroll.
Was Pete part of that initial projection, or did that kind of become an add-on?
I don't remember exactly. I mean, we always thought that Pete would be part of the team.
Okay.
And then. You know, obviously there were moments during that when we thought maybe he wasn't going to be part of the team, right? He was maybe considering going to other places. And then the question is, well, who would you replace him with? And depending if you signed him or didn't sign him, actually would have a reasonable effect on what the ultimate payroll would be.
What is the what's the state of the Willis Point project that you're trying to get done?
Yeah, moving forward, this is an important year. You know, we got to get the property rezoned, and I mean, that's a state legislature issue, and I'm hopeful that we can somehow get it rezoned. If it isn't rezoned, then obviously that would be a problem. And then once we get it rezoned, if we get it rezoned, then we have to win the license. So it's a two-step process. All of it's probably going to happen in the next year, and we'll see what happens.
Will you move forward with that if you don't get the license, or is it all in or nothing?
Yeah, I think we need an economic engine to make that work. You've got to take the parking lot, build parking garages, and that's wildly expensive. You have to, and then the ground that we're building on, you need tons of pylons and that's really expensive. It's an expensive piece of property to build on, and it really needs an economic engine. And without it, it would be impossible to make any economic sense of it.
Steve, I believe at the last owners meeting, you were put on the executive, named to the executive council.
Yes.
A big issue over the next 24 months is going to be, are the owners going for a salary cap or not? Do you think you need a salary cap?
You know, it's 2025. I mean, I'm kind of focused on 2025. A lot can happen between now and then. And as I get up to speed, I'll know more, and I'm not really worrying about it right now.
Do you think it would take away a large advantage that you currently have if that came along?
I'll compete under any circumstance. I mean, you tell me the rules, and I'll compete against them. No.
What did you make of where the Mets ranked as far as attendance last year?
Yeah, I didn't like it. Okay.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Like most car buyers, you want to get the most for your money. That's why more Mazda buyers choose Ramsey Mazda. Get impressive offers on a new Mazda CX-30 or a Mazda CX-5 starting at just $29,276. Over 1,000 new Mazda vehicles to choose from. Visit RamseyMazda.com. Get the most for your money at Ramsey Mazda. Choose wisely. Choose Ramsey Mazda.
Okay, that really bothered me. 18th in attendance when we're right in the middle of a pennant race. I've said this before. The series against the Nationals, right before the final Philly series, I think there were 18,000 fans in the stadium during a great pennant race. And so I'm really hopeful this year. I mean, I'm told that usually attendance lags performance. And so I'm really looking forward to this year being a year when the fans come out. I think the fans are having a great time. I mean, when I look out on the stadium, I think it's a great game presentation. We have a great team, I think. I'm really excited by. I think it's going to be a fun place to be this year.
So Steve, didn't you think with Soto? I mean, not just that he's a great player, he's going to help the team win, but he also brings a drawing card to the.
Yeah, I would call it a secondary consideration. And when you get a chance to get a generational ball player like that, they don't grow on trees. And when you actually looked at it, it might have been a while before someone of that caliber would be available again. And so that's a pretty rare opportunity, and so that's why I thought it was important to try to give the best effort we could to get him.
Well, Vlad Guerrero Jr. turned down the extension for the Blue Jays, and he'll be available next offseason.
Yeah, he's a great ball player, and once again, I'll worry about that next year. Obviously with payroll considerations, you can't have too many long-term contracts because then you lose your roster flexibility. So you got to be really careful. But I'll let my baseball people make that decision.
Steve, you mentioned that you were disappointed in the attendance towards the end of the season. What do you attribute that to? That you're disappointed?
That people didn't show up. I can't speak for why that is. And I think it has a lot to do with generally attendance lags performance. And I think there's always been a little bit of skepticism with the Mets and believing that we're going to be sustainable winners, sustainably in the playoffs. And I think I said it in the clubhouse in a celebration. I think Met fans have had this negative perception of the Mets and their fandom. One of my goals is to break that negativity and have them believe that we're going to be a sustainable winner year in and year out, and they come to the ballpark and enjoy it.
Steve, given the offseason you just had, have you seen ticket sales increase compared to maybe what they were the last few years at this time of year?
I missed that. What was that?
Given the offseason that you guys just had, have you seen an increase in ticket sales compared
yes, we have.
To maybe what was the last few years?
We've seen a decent, significant percentage increase. That's really encouraging. It's what I was hoping for. And frankly, you want a full stadium because, you want a lot of noise there and you want the opposing teams to really feel it when, they're playing us. And so it's important that the fans come out and support the team.
Steve, you seem to have a lot of fun personally with last year's run.
Yes.
Getting as far as you guys did. Whenever you start thinking about the business sense of what you're doing, does that pop in your head and like, you know what, I'm going to go beyond what I thought the financial limits were, because I want that feeling again for me, I want it for the team. Does that still sit in the back of your mind?
When you go through what, that playoff run and the to make the playoffs, I mean, how much fun was that? I mean, that month was one of the most, I hadn't felt anything like that. I don't know if I ever felt anything of that type of emotion that was like on almost a daily basis. And so when you get that feeling, you want more of that. That's really what you're playing for, the opportunity to get into the World Series and playoff baseball is so much fun. I mean, it rises to another level. I mean, they're all playing hard during the year, but everyone takes it up a notch, and that's a lot of fun.
For as fun as that was, could you imagine what winning a World Series would be like?
Listen, that's the goal, right? I mean, those celebrations when you're amongst the players and the joy that they have in moving along and succeeding, going to the next round, and that's what they're playing for, and be a part of that is a unique experience.
You mentioned that feeling during October. Is there a moment this winter where the buzz wore off for you a little bit after you guys were eliminated?
When I developed a frozen shoulder, I'm in pain every freaking night. That takes the buzz off pretty quick.
Was there any sort of like?
But actually, the way I would describe it is, when it gets into the dead of winter and you're not playing baseball and you've just gone through something like that, you can't wait till the season starts again.
How eager were you to get the season off?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I'm excited. I mean, come on. Well, there's nothing better than coming to spring training and you have all the hope that this year is going to be a great year, and you haven't lost a game yet, so I mean, you can hope, right? And I think there's more than hope here. I think we've built a pretty strong team.
Thank you, Steve.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Thanks,
all right.
Okay, so there you go, Met fans. First of all, you got to love everything that you heard there. We play a lot of press conferences. We do a lot. Whether it's the Yankee contingent, obviously the Knicks don't speak a whole lot, but you hear from the general managers for football. And after a while, and this is not to disparage them, a lot of good people in this town, they get boring, though. They get a little repetitive. Mm-hmm. They don't really say a whole lot. The thing about Cohen is that, he strikes this incredible balance of remaining conversational and interesting. He's never too intense. He's never aloof. It's just like you'd listen to him and you really feel like you get an honest, true read on what's in his heart, which, Met fans, you have to love what you just heard.
If you just sat there and listened to that like we did, I think you could only come to one conclusion. It was spoken like a king. Just roll with me, BT. to win. Cohen tax be damned. Payroll be damned. I want good players. And to win, you need great players. Spoken, BT. Like a king. Thank you, King Cohen.
You know, I hit you with that.
That's great. He was good. He was really good. He is a very likable guy. He really is. I mean, generally when... Oh, man. That I'll give you that. That was kingly. That was a kingly performance right there. He rolls in. Yeah, we got Soto. Yeah, we'll see about Vlad. Yeah, whatever. Cohen tax. Like, he's talking about his own tax. He's so humble. It's really... I really, just to reassert what I said, his balance is impressive because you know he's a shark. Like, he is a cutthroat shark in the boardroom, but he projects in a way that the common man relates to. It's just a very affable trait. I like Steve Cohen.
And you know what I love about him, too? That you could tell he's learned. We had this conversation when we first got together that summer, whatever it was, I guess two summers ago now.
Yeah.
Okay, so remember I came out with the paper bag over my... That was the Verlander Scherzer thing.
Yeah.
But it was at that point, that to me was the key point in this whole process because he learned the mistakes of investing in older pitchers and how much, and also pivoted immediately instead of just doubling down or trying to wait for it to play out.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Epler was here at the time, so different GM, but they were forward-thinking, paying those guys to go away, buying some prospects, in the process saving some money, and then reinvesting that in younger, obviously Soto now, or better spots, even with the pitching, like two-year deals for pitchers that aren't as proven, but, you know, talking about 10 years younger than the Verlander and Scherzer-type ages that they had before. So he's learned as he's gone along here, also learning that you can't just go out there and buy. Like, things happen. Mm-hmm. Stuff happens. You need to have depth. So I do think, and I think it was Dave Lennon who asked the question about, is he at the best spot he's in his ownership so far going into year five, learning all that. I do think that's the case with what he's learned, who he's hired now with Stearns and Mendy in place, bringing in the stars. Lindor's here, Soto here now. I do think the Mets are in the best spot that they've been in, and this truly should be the beginning of the sustained success that the organization has been searching for since 1962.
They're certainly sitting on the tarmac in a nice plane. You know, now you've just got to get the altitude that you guys crave, and a lot of signs say that you probably will. And by the way, you left something out. You know, the infrastructure, and he talks about that, whether it's the digital stuff, the analytics stuff, like... You know, I know Port St. Lucie, there's far worse minor league facilities. But when he got there, well, I don't know that it was top-notch.
It wasn't.
You know, the Mets were lagging behind in a lot of things. They were kind of getting lapped. They was very antiquated way of constructing a baseball team and trying to maximize players' talent. So when you say, and I do agree that, and again, now you need the results, but you think that the Mets are in the best place since he's taken over. I agree because the things that... And it's not that dissimilar from Pitino. Like, you think about the erosion of St. John's and the erosion of the Mets. Like, these things that you have to do that the Dodger and the Yankee fan and maybe the Astros now and maybe the Padres, like, you kind of take for granted. He had to fix basic things before he could even get to this point, but... Here we are.
Built the infrastructure. And it takes a while. I mean, I remember being down there in spring training a couple of years ago where they were talking about how much he's invested in it, but it takes years to pan out. And by the way, we might see it this year with some of the young pitching. We talked about it yesterday, the Mets, and we could get further into this as we go on here, but without Montas now, how do they replace him? Maybe a guy like Sprout comes up through the system, and eventually, if it's not him, somebody else, because they're building the infrastructure that should set them up for years to come. All right, BT and Sal.
Now, by the way, Sal, real quick, the Mets social media, courtesy of them, so we appreciate that with the Cohen stuff. But he talked for a while. I'll tell you, you got to get Cohen on the show. I know you've been trying. It's not a lack of effort.
Well, we got to get him on the show. I've kind of, I talked to Mrs. Cohen.
I understand. I know. I know. For all you do with the GameStop, I mean, Steve, come on, man.
You would think.
Let's go.
The king would acknowledge his peasants, his mere peasants, who bow down to his every word. But anyway, we'll work on it.
There you go. All right.
And when he comes on, you know what we'd have to do.
Well, beat him up in baseball cards, right?
Take him
down. That's where I got to get some blood from him. What do we have to do?
We got to play the music.
Yeah, no, of course. Listen, dude, it's part of the deal, man. Just remember, that crown, Ain't light.
BT and Sal on the Fan. More of your calls when we come back. 888-808-1019.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
If you're thinking about GLP-1s for weight loss, listen up. You must make sure you're maintaining your muscle mass while you're losing weight. Otherwise, you can slow your metabolism and regain the weight. Omacid, a natural superfood protein shake, has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. It optimizes and supercharges your metabolism so you can lose weight easily. Use Omacid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at omacid.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. Five-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
StreetEasy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
One night, one goal. Stop suicide. Register today for AFSP's 30th overnight walk in New York City, June 21st, as we walk 16 miles from dusk till dawn to stop suicide. Start your journey today at theovernight.org.